a great question to ask someone if they don't know what the question actually is. Are you ready? Just if you meet someone, that would be good.
Right. But wait, we're recording like just half an hour?
Yeah, let's see. And it's gonna be like a 10-minute walk or so. We'll be fine and see. We'll do one before and one after.
All right. And we'll compare notes.
We'll see how it goes.
You should just have had this set up. And I would not even know. It was recording the entire time.
No, that's how we roll. I did this with Justin once. I didn't even release it yet. He was talking about browsers, rewriting all the browsers in SIG or something. No, but we'll see. Ah, great.
Oh, it just pops in every single time. Perfect.
Yeah, there's also gonna be, you know, you can't disable it. I haven't figured out how to disable it in this car. You'll see, every 5 minutes, it's gonna tell you what the traffic is like. You know, it's gonna be, a radio pops on and it's gonna be like traffic stuff.
Well, it's important.
Yeah, it's very important. All right, so, you know...
Oh, yeah, we're recording.
We're recording. Oh, okay. Yeah, we've been recording for a while. You know the... who was it? God damn it. Some comedian. Was it Seinfeld?
Yeah, Seinfeld. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, comedians in cars.
Yeah,
comedians
yeah.
in cars having coffee. So
Bitcoiners in cars.
So that's what that is now. It's like... You know...
Well, this could be
people that are comedians. Laughing. Yeah, unfunny comedians. Exactly. I wouldn't call myself a
hey,
comedian.
No wind.
Yeah, no wind?
No wind here.
Oh, that's right. That's an improvement.
This is a whole new setup.
Yeah, it's
well,
a whole...
the AC is on, so maybe that's...
it's a little bit of wind. A little bit of wind. But there's going to be lots of background noise. And yeah, we'll see how it goes. You'll have to do all the talking because I'll have to concentrate on driving.
Okay.
And I'm just going to ask you, Pablo... What did you do the last couple of months? I have no idea. It's been a long while since I saw you. So just bring me up to speed. Last 6 months or so.
Okay, last 6 months.
Yeah, what did you do? What did you work on? What's new?
Oh, Jesus, man. I rewrote 10x like about 100 times.
Every single time in JavaScript or like what was the point of the rewrite?
I'm staying with TypeScript. There is like a very cool framework. You know, Vercel is paying for it, so endless money.
Ah, great.
And it's fucking really good. It's really good. There's a lot of insane annoyances with regards to building for like Anthropic and OpenAI and Llama and, you know, like all the different providers. They all have different things and Gemini. They all have very different subtleties. And
so what kind of component would you need to rebuild for all of those? What part of 10x?
Like if I were to not use the stuff that the Vercel.
Yeah.
I mean, basically you need to implement every single provider in a way that,
okay, that
is works for every single like the nuances. So for example, Gemini gives you the reasoning encrypted with a key that they have. You don't have it. So when you call it for a second run, the way agents work is the reason act loop, right? So it reasons that it will do something, it might or might not use a tool, and then you need to provide back the output from the tool, and then it goes and goes and goes until it decides that it's done. So on every single turn, it will, for Gemini, it will give you back an encrypted payload that you must provide back in a certain fashion. So there is like a lot of subtleties. They always are fucking breaking all the time. They are completely like how Grok works is different than how Llama works, how ChatGPT works, or OpenAI is different how, like, that stuff is a lot of fucking code that is really fucking annoying to run.
And so they abstracted it all away.
They abstract all that away, and there is a shitload of people that are finding all the little subtleties for all the different providers. There's like, I don't know, like 200 different providers.
Yeah.
So it's insanely useful. It saves me a lot of work because before I had this written within 10x for each one of them, but it was so painful.
Yeah. But the underlying structure of 10x, the idea, so to speak, of 10x and the general structure didn't change too much.
It actually changed a lot.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, it's super interesting. I'm finding like this is the most interesting work that I've done probably ever in my career. It's so fucking fascinating, all this stuff. And
so bring me up to speed, because it's still like a multi-agent thing that kind of uses Noster as their underlying base for the agents to communicate, right?
Every communication is a Noster event, and which gives you like a lot of really interesting benefits. Like, for example, you can trace what each agent did because they're each signing with their own pub keys.
Yeah.
But you can also trace all the thinking as a tree, because it's all the events are linking to the previous one. So you can trace perfectly at which point within a tree, you can trace at which point you want to inject a different break on the fork of the communication.
Yeah.
It's actually kind of interesting because Cloud Code, I don't know if you use Cloud Code.
I've used it a little bit, but I wouldn't say like I'm super familiar with it.
So Cloud Code, I think, is the most popular framework for developers. It's insanely powerful, and they are kind of doing something similar with regards to like introducing this ability of going back up the tree of the conversation.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
But it's insanely hard.
Yeah.
And it's insanely hard because they're trying to kind of like mimic a tree structure, but starting from the point where there are no guarantees of how everything is linked together. Mm. So it feels like fake. It feels like a fake structure. When you want to fork a conversation, for example, and go somewhere else, or you want to refer to one point in time and address that point in time without forking the conversation. Mm. There is no like an event, an ID of the message.
I see.
You cannot say, this ID was wrong in this way. You know,
that's actually an interesting kind of comparison. Just like Git, for example, made version control completely addressable, and it's also a tree and so on.
That's the same idea,
but just with using Noster events for like for agent structure. Conversations.
Exactly.
I see. And you can also link them, of course. Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, it's actually insanely fascinating. And one of the most interesting things that I realized is that when I started working on in all this, then my thinking was very like imperative programming style, where I was giving tools and giving frameworks to the agents to kind of like sandbox them.
Yeah.
And the more I work using Tenex, the more I realize that all these sandboxes are limiting the power of the thing. So me going in and actually deleting like 80% of the code of a subsystem improves it. Like all of a sudden it's way simpler, like way, way, way simpler, and it performs much better. So like
you know there was always this theoretical thought experiment of like, once we have super intelligent AI, it would obviously be, you know, like captured in a certain environment, and how would it break out? Like it would bribe people, and it would like, you know, like there's all these fancy ways of like how an AI breaks out of its confinement, and you're telling me it's like, no, it's just like, it's way more powerful if you just don't build the confinement in the first place.
Give them money, why don't go wrong?
Yeah, exactly. That would have been my next question, actually. You still, because one of the components I really liked is just every agent having their own wallet and having sets to spend. Tell me more about that. Did anything change, if anything, or how does this work now?
I removed that.
Okay.
Mainly because there was nothing for them to actually buy. Mostly because, you know, like Lightning adoption is not quite there.
Even with Router and PaperQueue or those things popping up?
But like they can pay for tokens for sure, but I already give them basically limitless tokens. That's one of the
questions. So you're subsidizing all your agents.
it's a commune.
But you're the first communist to remove all the walls.
I think I'll add it at some point. I removed a bunch of things from the system to kind of like simplify it. I've been basically just deleting code. So like it's super interesting. One of the things is that when I first started, I thought, okay, what is kind of like an abstract, an ambiguous enough model for giving the agents? Because one of the things that agents are constantly forgetting to do things. That's a running thing. You tell them go do this thing, and they'll do like 10%, and they'll be, oh, okay, I'm done. So just putting them in a loop makes it quite easy. They pick up, oh, I forgot this part, I put to do here or whatever, right? So to give it more structure, when I started, I gave them like faces where the parent agent would be, I have these five faces, which is like whatever, research or I think it was research, planning, yeah, execution, chores, no, review, chores, and then learning, or there's another word, it's not learning, reflection, yeah, the reflection phase. And to me that felt ambiguous enough that it could be used for non-software development stuff. Oh, it did turn on.
Yeah, I told you.
I thought you were kidding. The sun is fucking blinding me. I don't know how you can
and you,
drive.
You can't move that.
No, I know. I reached to move it.
No, you'll just have to stare into the light. That's how it's gonna
just
be.
Just embrace it. Yeah. Like Trump.
Maybe as an explanation, we have the microphones on the sun. What are those
on
called?
The sun.
Sunlids, sunscreens, thingies. So you can't move them. And we're driving directly into the sun. It's great. It's good stuff.
So, Jesus.
So did you still have those kind of phases, like
no,
research
so,
phases and
so,
so on?
So that's the interesting thing. I ended up removing that. I need the system. So what I did instead is I gave tools for each agent to define its own phases, which to me was like fucking mind-blowing, because that meant that the agents can define what is their workflow, you know, like a marketing head, for example. I have like marketing teams on the projects. The marketing head has maybe reviewing the or planning or whatever. I don't know about marketing, but they're facing
whatever they do,
whatever the fuck
it's
marketing
like
a, people do.
Yeah, like
it's probably different.
Dancing with pixels and like who knows, coming up with words.
It's probably different than what a writer would do, or what you know, whatever, like an accountant would do.
Yeah, I see.
So that allows me to for the department heads to have their own faces, which they define within the workflow that makes sense for that particular niche. And then that means that because each agent can have it their own faces, that means that the workflows are composable. So like the CEO agent can have one workflow. It doesn't need to know what the engineer director has workflow, what that workflow looks like. It just has to know, I'm gonna delegate this task and something will happen, and I only care about the output.
Yeah, and something hopefully comes back that isn't like absolute dog shit.
Yeah, exactly.
So just like in real life.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Yeah, 100%, 100%. And there's a very good reason for that, which I think is the same reason why we humans do that, is that you cannot hold all that information in your own mind.
Oh, wow. I know a guy who talked about that a lot, that basically predicted all that. I forgot his name, Pablo. Can you help me and pronounce his name for me, please?
I cannot pronounce his name.
You know who I'm talking
okay,
about.
Yeah, Ishan Barbik.
rings a bell.
It's something like
almost right. I'm sure if you scream it into ChatGPT, it could make sense of it. It's John Vermeke, of course. It's not that hard. Every time I hear you say his name, I crack up. It's like, Vermeke?
But every single time I say it different.
it's different every time. No, it's John Vermeke. Yeah, he basically predicted all that. It's also, I mean, there is a reason why our brain is structured in the way it is and works in the way it is. And we have all these kind of heuristics and so on. It's like, you can't, like, there, a single entity can't make sense of a whole organization, for example. It's too complex. And that's why you need to specialize, why you need to have these kind of tree structures, why you need to have certain heuristics, and why you need, for example, break it down to prices, break it down to profits, those kind of
100%,
things.
100%, yeah. 100%. I think the interesting thing is that it's not only a single entity, a single human or a single agent, it's even within the single run like a thought process.
Oh, yeah, sure.
You cannot even understand the whole thing you're doing at the same time.
Right? Yeah.
That's why you write and then you go for a walk and then you edit. Right?
Yeah, yeah. That's also why interruptions are so devastating. Like everyone who ever did any kind of mental work
in
that
mental work. What is that?
What is what?
That is limestone. That is fucking amazing.
There's lots of good climbing here.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah. But that's not a... I don't think there's any roots.
No, it doesn't look like it, but that's amazing. Wow.
I'm glad you're paying attention to the right things. but it's also like that's also why kind of everyone knows that if you're really concentrating on something, if someone interrupts you, it's like devastating. Like the last 4 hours are gone, you know.
Yeah,
can't go back into it, and it's literally because you can't hold it all in your head. You have to be in the flow state, and then certain things happen and so on, and you can't kind of pause and press play again and all those kind of things.
Totally. But even when you're going through a session like that of deep work, and then you come back the day after, or you go for whatever,
sauna,
and you come back.
Sure.
You come back with a fresh mind, and you'll see things that you didn't see before. It's the same person.
Yeah, yeah.
But you're not actually the same person.
I mean, that's why all the cognitive scientists know all that. That's why people have whiteboards in their showers, because shower thoughts are a real thing, where you actually relax and you're in a different state of mind.
Yeah.
And that's also, again, like Mareki talks about that a lot. It's also in groups, for example, something like brainstorming actually works. And there is such a thing like team spirit. And if you get the right people together and you just talk about the thing for like 2 hours, something will come up that each individual, it would have been impossible for 100%. Each individual to come up with.
I mean, sovereign engineering.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's kind of the main idea behind sovereign engineering, to kind of produce this effect in some sense, as best as we can. But what I think is interesting, and I never used 10x. I really have to. I actually met people who installed it and run it. Can you believe it? I was mind blown. I was like, wow. There's like, I thought it was only Pablo, but there's other people that actually managed to run it and use it. And I saw you're done with the rewrite now, right? Like I saw you just released a version. I saw it on the Noster Compass, which is basically the new Noster Recap, I guess.
Yeah, it's really cool. The new Noster Report.
It's really, really good. It's really cool. And so, okay, so you removed the wallets, you rewrote all of it multiple times.
Many times.
Deleted 90% of the code that the agents
basically
wrote,
yes.
So which is what you have to do. I mean, they just write way too much. And would you say you're happy with it now?
I'm insanely happy. Yeah? And one thing that I've noticed is that for the past month, all the work that I'm doing, it like I have to really think about what I'm doing. Like every single thing that pops up is something that I have to go for a walk and think.
Because if something pops up, it's a hard problem.
That's what you mean.
Okay. And the rest, the grunt work is done by the agents. Interesting.
So for example, one of the things that I did, I made one project, so everything within 10x is organized in project buckets, right? Mm-hmm. Every single project has one agent. By default, I always only put the HR agent, and then I go into a conversation with the HR agent.
So you're a true C-level executive, and you just talk with HR? Is that what you're telling me? Oh my God, Pablo. Oh my God.
No, here's the thing.
Oh my God.
So for the new project that I'm doing now...
Get out of the car right now. That's terrible.
It's beneath my line. Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. Oh my God. It's so bad.
For each project, I now create, for example, I rewrote OLAS. And I build the OLAS management project, which only has CEO, CTO, and at some point it will have like a CMO or shit like that. So like, you know, chief level, they cannot see the code. Like the code is so far removed, like literally
just
cannot
like in the real world.
Just like in the real world.
They wouldn't be able to make sense of it. And that's a great thing. No C-level executive needs to get their hands dirty with actual code, anything like it.
Oh, and then I have the OLAS iOS project, and then a different OLAS Android project, and then a different OLAS web project. Each one of them is using a Noster library that is native. So I wrote NDK Swift, which is a port of NDK that I wrote, all vibe coded.
Okay.
It works insanely well.
Interesting.
It is so fucking cool.
Yeah, I think that's very vibable. That's very vibable. Like, there is existing code that a human wrote, translated to another
translated
language.
There are insane amounts of tests.
Yeah.
So you can you can validate what actually works, what doesn't.
Yeah.
You can validate, okay, how does the
outputs... Did you look at it? Did you look at the test?
I didn't look... I looked at the results of the test, and I actually built out a bunch of applications, and they work insanely fucking well. I actually
maybe take a glance at the tests, because it's just like, you know,
I test by using the application.
Okay, fair enough.
Everything loads, it does the right amount of connections, it does compiling of requests in the right way, it does event publishing in the right way to the right places.
Wait, I disconnected. Oh my god. Does it still work? No one knows. Test, test, 1, 2.
Test, test, 1, 2. Okay.
Oh, but they record locally, right?
Yeah, they do, but it would be such a shame, because then I would have to do things manually, and I really don't want to.
Which will never happen.
I really don't want to. So I just disconnected the thing for a couple seconds. We'll see. We'll see. We'll see.
We'll be surprised. We'll see.
All right. I would say actually put on a jacket, because it's going to be like 10-15 minutes or so. But we'll come back to the native stuff.
It is so fucking interesting, because I think all the multi-platform things are no longer make any sense whatsoever. Like, they only make sense
because it's actually the only reason for doing multi-platform stuff is... Wait, I can put this.
Oh, thank you. Yes, that'll be great.
The only reason for the multi-platform stuff is actually to like save on developer hours, basically.
It's only for economic reasons, but it's always a compromise.
Yeah.
Because even the experience of an iOS application must be different than an Android application. It's not the same
app. That's why the cross-platform stuff always kind of feels a little wonky.
Yeah, exactly. And when you can afford it, you see that teams prefer to have three different code bases.
Yeah, sure.
Three different apps.
Yeah.
And I think stuff like React Native or Flutter or all these things, they only make sense within that paradigm when you're actually writing code.
Yeah.
But if you're just programming in English, it makes no sense.
Programming in English. Did you see there was a big rant that went viral on Twitter by a programmer that basically is like, I'm sitting in front of the computer for 8 to 10 hours just typing English into a text box.
100%.
He hates it.
I think Fiaschef sent it to me today. He sent me something. I think that was the one. But actually, I completely agree. Whenever I use like Hull Code or the anti-gravity thing or any of these, the developer experience is like took a step back like 50 years. It's fucking horrible, because you're basically yelling to someone that is lying to you, that will take all shortcuts.
You yourself are not an engineer anymore, which is actually, coding itself is a beautiful thing. You have a hard problem, you're smashing your head against it, and it's actually really joyful once you figure it out and you make it work and so on. All that's gone.
And replaced for screaming into someone that is lying to you, that is for the most part incompetent.
I mean, you're talking like a real C-level executive now.
I tell you.
Yeah.
I've changed.
Yeah. That's what it is. All your minions, they're all stupid. They're all lying to you. They all think they're underpaid.
They all want to unionize.
Yeah, exactly. Just wait. This is gonna happen. Just wait. But yeah, it's a different job, I would say.
It is a completely different job.
Yeah.
And the experience, I think the experience is right now is as bad, like being a developer right now, is as bad as it's been, at least in our lifetimes.
Yeah, I think it's because it's a different thing. And we're in this transition period, and because what was part of this rant was also kind of, you know, crank out the insane amount of slop just to hit the insane deadlines, like those kind of things. And I think that the industry is trying to adjust, and now everything is super easy, everything can be done super, super quickly.
Yeah.
Which is, of course, not the case.
No.
You can't produce slop super quickly.
And you can produce 100,000 lines of code that is repeating the same thing over and over.
And that's kind of like I want to point this out. Like that's why
vibe coding has been a godsend for software engineering, because all we want to do is kind of prototype. Well, all we want to do is kind of more or less play around with ideas and build like almost like throwaway prototypes in some sense, where it's like, does this work? Like, just build enough to validate the idea.
Yeah.
And if the idea works, then pursue it properly. And if it doesn't work, there is nothing lost.
Yeah.
Like you wasted maybe like two afternoons or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But like in the software industry, like actual software engineering is a different discipline. I think that's also why vibe coding emerged as a term and stuck, because it is a different thing. It is a different thing.
It is a different thing. I think that it's a toy perception is what's going to change massively. Like writing NDK.
Oh, I think it already changed. For really good people, it already changed.
Yeah.
Good people that lean into it.
I think so. But yeah. I think very, very few people actually do vibe coding in the right way. I think a lot of people are still in the jail of looking at the code or telling now the specification must go like this and do it this way and do it that way. And I think that doesn't make any sense anymore.
Yeah.
To me, the fact that it was able to build NDK Swift, and it's a fucking amazing library. It works insanely well. It does the outbox compilation, like all that stuff that is so fucking hard to do right.
Yeah.
So hard. Huh. And it just does it. And then I rebuild the same thing in Kotlin.
Yeah.
Haven't opened the code a single time. And I built applications using it.
Just works, yeah.
And the application just fucking works.
Yeah. Interesting.
So for example, you publish an event, both of them are integrated with NostRDB,
yeah,
like Wheels.
Yeah.
As the cache adapter.
Yeah.
It does negentropy syncing. It does offline publishing.
Yeah.
When you connect, when the device goes back online, it does all the publishing of all the events to the right relays. It remembers which relays it wasn't able to publish to. It does all that stuff and it just works.
Nice.
NIP60 support, like all the things, man. Everything. I'm so fucking impressed by the fact that after, I don't know, it probably took like maybe 2 days of the thing running.
Nice.
Uninterrupted. Nice. Of the thing running and running and running and running and running and running and running. And it produces that thing, and then it creates application and it says the application. Like it actually launches the iOS simulator, it clicks around and it checks, it refreshes, it checks what subscriptions did it create, like all that stuff.
But the fact that you, I just wanna reflect on that kind of. The fact that you were able to build a system, something that runs for 2 days straight, like spawns multiple agents, all these things, and brings something back, like it doesn't go off the track and it doesn't go into slop land, like that's amazing. It is
absolutely mind-blowing. So one of the things that it has, because the agents themselves, like that's the interesting thing, is that each agent doesn't need to be super smart. Each agent, they still go off the rails.
Constantly.
It's just so when an agent delegates to another agent, that agent that delegated knows what it wants back.
Doesn't know
how to get there.
I mean, that's similar like how the image generation things work. They're all adversarial in nature.
Right.
Where you have like one step is like it's basically something that does categorization really well and will tell the generator like, does this look like a face? Yes or no.
Right.
Basically, or whatever. And then it just goes back and forth forever. and it will only stop once the categorization part is happening.
Right, right.
And we'll come back with, yes, that's actually a beautiful face. Well done. This is just like, you know, intern and C-level executive, right?
So one of the things is that it's able to, when it does a delegation, it has the tool itself. It allows us to capture, to listen to the streams of events that the agent it delegated to it published.
Yeah.
So it can say, I'm going to delegate, and after five turns of the agent like thinking, it will capture the Nostr events and collapse them and see, okay, does this make sense or is the agent going off the rails?
Yeah.
And every 5 or 10 or whatever amount of messages it publishes, it goes back into the agent. The other guy keeps on running, while the agent that delegated says, is this okay? or are we going off course? Oh, or are we adding like
you
a...
Do you still have the confidence score and those kind of things?
Yes, yeah. Yes, yes. That's all that stuff is absolutely fundamental. Yeah. What I'm noticing is that there are a few things that are fundamental. Most of it is not required. Like again, so for example, the faces, I removed it like 3 days ago. It's super interesting because now I'm on vacation. Mm-hmm. DHS has been running the entire time.
How much money do you burn?
I'm on 700 a month.
Okay.
Which is fucking nothing when you think about it.
Compared to like you're probably replacing like two or three Eastern
I'm
European
replacing like fucking
teams.
30 people.
Yeah.
It's insane. Yeah. But these days that I'm like not like on so much and looking at what they're doing, they've done like fucking amazing work.
Yeah.
It is so fucking mind blowing. But
that's summed up to kind of all the subscriptions that you have on all the different models and so on.
Yeah, it's all okay. So I have two Cloud Code subscriptions.
So this is still subsidized. That's kind of
That's still subsidized. Okay. But to be honest, even at API, if I were paying for API calls full price,
it would still be cheaper.
Hiring the amount of... And I'm also like just playing,
We already established that this is like a communist undertaking, so we're
exactly.
perfectly fine with subsidies. All right.
But to me, that's one of the things is I'm running on Opus, which is like the most expensive one, like all the time, constantly Opus, like Opus only.
Yeah.
only Opus. And I'm not optimizing for like token usage. I think it's comparing the cost of tokens with the cost of human time. It's like it's not even a comparison. Like I can buy more tokens. I cannot buy another day for my life.
Yeah, yeah.
So to me, that makes zero sense.
The radical life extension people would disagree with you.
Yes. I'll wait to be proven wrong. I'm another thing that you will probably very intuitively understand. I'm never running into compression of context windows. I never none of the agents run by themselves in one instance for so long that it hits any type of limit.
But that's really cool. That's a big benefit. So you build a hierarchy that's big enough so that the atomic components of the hierarchy are done with their task.
Like very early. Like,
yeah.
Very early.
Yeah. Ford would be proud. Like, you know, that was his big insight of how to build automobiles right. Like every single worker does like a incredibly stupid task that takes like 5 minutes to perform, and that's it.
And you cannot fuck it up. It's like so obvious that you cannot fuck it up.
Yeah.
So for example, one of the things that I do is the agents typically are bad at correcting things. So for example, one of the things that I gave them
once
is,
they went down the wrong path,
it's insanely hard for them
I think everyone who works with LLMs knows it.
So
once they are convinced that humans have like seven legs, they will just double down and
forever
and make up papers, scientific papers to prove it to you. They'll never go back and go like, oh, I was mistaken, it's only two.
So one of the things that I do is I gave them tools to delegate. Say, for example, one agent wants to make a plan on how to implement whatever, right? And it comes up with a plan, but then it can delegate either the planning or the implementation to four different agents at the same time with slightly like four different type of like whatever object-oriented programming and functional, whatever it might be.
Yeah.
And they all implement in like a disposable work tree. They implement the thing all the way to the end, knowing that it's disposable code.
Yeah.
And they just compare notes. Like, how did it go? Going this route, how did it go?
Yeah.
Then you delete that and you only take the learnings, and then from that you create an implementation plan.
Okay.
So they do that all the fucking time. Like they try something, which is kind of how we work as well. Like build a prototype, you learn something, you delete it, you do it again, you learn something, you delete it, until you, okay, this is, now we understand the problem in a much more nuanced way.
That's also the point of like having, I don't know, like 10 different research teams working on one thing. and they all do it in a slightly different way, and so on and so forth.
And then you can compare, and then you'll understand something. One thing I've noticed is that when you work on something hard, you don't really understand it until you really try to work on the thing.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Like, you can learn about Bitcoin all you want, until you actually write a wallet or whatever it might be, you don't really understand it.
Yeah. I know a guy who he would call it participatory knowing. Can you know who I'm thinking of?
No.
Can you tell me the name?
No.
It starts with a V. his first name is John.
It's I don't know that. I have no clue. No. Oh, Bitbik.
it gets always worse.
It's one way street. Yeah. He has seven legs, right?
It's still John Vermeke. I'm not sure. Maybe he grew some legs. But yeah, no, that's obviously true. I mean, for other things. And I talked about this in the past, like to really understand Bitcoin, for example, you also really have to use it.
Yeah.
Like, just put 12 words in your head and cross a border, you know, those kind of things. And actually do all the things.
Actually lock yourself in a room. There's no replacement for the on-hand learning.
Otherwise you won't get it. All right. I think we'll have to turn around here. I just wanted to do one more ring around the rosy just to not stop the conversation short. But so what else is there to talk about on the 10x side? Because we're gonna do a little break, and in 2 or 2.5 hours from now, I'm gonna ask you about all the other projects.
Okay.
But let's try to bring the 10x to a close in the next like 10 minutes or so. So what's the state now? What's something that you're still unhappy with, and what do I need to do to run it myself?
Right now I'm running it on iPhone. It's like the most advanced application, so buy an iPhone.
No.
No, I also have it also compiles into Mac, like a Mac OS proper. Right, it's a different client.
Yeah, that's fine. I run Nostr on Mac. I don't have an iPhone, but Nostr is a great client.
Nostr is a great client.
It's my go-to desktop client.
I compared the code base of how Nostr implements Nostr with the
terrible
NK
names, though, by the way. Nostr with a U, it's just like Moon with two U's, and it's all those terrible names. But anyway, great client.
Well, the naming podcast is a different podcast.
Oh yeah, that's true. All the venture capitalists, they really care about names. All the programmers actually don't. It's just like Claude Opus,
whatever,
make
put
up
a
name.
U. Put a U. Put two U's. Yeah. You might as well.
Someone should fork it and make Nostr with two U's. Just for nostalgic reasons.
The more premium version. Yeah,
exactly. Put a paywall on something.
Put a shitcoin in.
Exactly.
No, it's Solana.
Great. So, okay. So I can actually install this on macOS.
Yeah, on macOS, I compile a binary that it's like you can download just the binary or compile it locally, whatever.
And in terms of setup, I would need to give it
a laptop, YOLO API, mode, API just say here, do your thing.
Does it support OpenRouter, all those kind of things?
Or? Yeah, it supports OpenRouter. Yeah. It supports
Routester, PaperQ as well.
Yeah, everything that all those are ChatGPT APIs. So yeah, it supports Olama. Same thing with Olama. It's just a ChatGPT.
Yeah. Can you run it on just local models as well?
You can run it on just local models. I don't know. Yeah. I've never tried with the coding with local models.
Yeah.
Unless if you have a very beefy GPU, you probably can do it. I don't have that kind of that kind of hardware.
Yeah, you spend all your money on an iPhone. Like I understand. No more money left for GPUs.
No, but it's interesting. So I bought. I was in San Francisco like a month ago, so I bought the new iPhone, which has the Apple Intelligence running locally. So it's cool because I can get it to like summarize the work that has been done in the day locally, and it can give me like a report of what happened, and then I have like the voice thing.
So all the stuff that the 10x agents did.
It gives you like a report, basically. So the agents have like a scheduling tool where it's cron basically, where they can schedule, for example, every 5 minutes or every once a day or once a week, and they can go and fetch all the conversations, all the threads, and they can send you like a weekly report of what was done across all the projects, because they also have a tool that allows them to see all the projects that the same person owns, and they can communicate across project boundaries. So you can have one agent that goes to every PM across all the projects and says, what happened this week?
Okay.
And then get a summary. Yeah,
you rebuilt like a Google-like company.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
And then I'm going to build a DAO on top.
Is data availability ever an issue? Do you run your own?
It's just relay, a relay. Basically? Yeah, but it's what, like 100 megabytes? Yeah. I mean, it's just text, you know. Yeah, it's not an issue.
It's not, the agents are not spamming events like crazy.
No.
Okay.
I mean, they produce they stream events, but those are ephemeral events.
Yeah.
But okay. It's a non-issue. Yeah.
Yeah. I see. Cool. Now, what I like most about these ideas is, like, I noticed it myself. I wanted to actually write about it, but it's way easier to speak about it. Is that my development workflow changed? Like, it's to say that it changed would be unfair, because it changed so much. It's kind of indistinguishable. It's a different thing that I do now. Like, I used to be a developer a very long time ago, and now I do something else. I basically speak to computers, but I really like it because, again, like, as a you know, like, a big fan of John Vervaeke, I really think that no one knows. The issue is you can't pronounce the name. That's kind of, he would be so big. Like, everyone would know him if people would only be able to pronounce his name.
Like, see, naming.
Naming is the issue.
The VC podcast,
he's
right.
Clearly not a venture capitalist guy. But but anyway, like, he says that most of our, like, basically, you need dialogue to solve the really hard problems. And my whole, every time now I'm trying to build something new or fix something and so on, I immediately enter into a dialogue with the LLM.
Yeah.
Like, what is something that we can do, and all those kind of things. Oh my Lord.
What?
That's bad. It's fully booked out. Is that true?
Oh.
That's really bad. Well, then we'll have to do something else, I guess.
Wow, damn.
We'll see. No, we'll see. We'll just do a, because maybe that's just for the bath and not for the song. But we'll see. But anyway, I really think that's kind of a very different approach. Like, you immediately enter into a conversation, and you kind of lead with questions, and you kind of have this massive back and forth. And I think most people that have a really bad experience with LLMs, they are dead set on doing a thing in a certain way, and they can't budge from it. And then the thing won't do it in the way you want it to do it, and then it's like there's just conflict all the time.
It will never do it in the way you thought it should be done.
Yeah.
But one of the things that I'm finding is that a lot of times, it comes up with a very decent, elegant solution that I really didn't think of.
Exactly.
Like, I didn't
exactly
come up with that idea.
And that gets the job done, and it's like, you know, good enough for this thing and so on, and that's it. And then you can also iterate from there and so on. But I think that's kind of the new paradigm, is that all of it is conversational and dialogical and so on.
I think search
in some sense, you know, like not only development, not only coding and so on, and all those kind of things, but every LLM-driven process is like this.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I said this before to you at some point, that to me, what kind of sent me down this route is that during software engineering 4, I heard so many people saying, oh, yeah, this is kind of useful, but it's so good that I'm a developer and I can steer it in the right direction and I know what it's doing. And I thought, what if it's like Bitcoin and economist, where you knowing about the field is not helpful, it's hindering you. Mm. You're getting in your own way.
Mm.
What if all I know about development is actually problematic?
Mm.
What if I just let fucking go?
Yeah.
And then I can start integrating the things, you know, but start with the supposition that, no, actually you need to learn from scratch, actually.
Yeah. I think it's interesting now, especially on the Nostr side, there's lots of just non-developer people that, thanks to Shakespeare and other things, really got into vibe coding, and they produce really cool stuff. And it's very different. Like, they're obviously not developers. They're not going to read a single line of code, and they're not going to care, and all those kind of things. And that's perfectly fine. But they still, I read one post where it was like, it's the person described of getting into a flow state while developing the app. And it happened to me a couple of times as well, where you're just like so in the zone of trying to make this thing kind of shape this thing how you envisioned it in some sense. And like you make micro adjustments every like 5 seconds, and it's almost like sculpting, you know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
Almost like sculpting the thing out of a block of marble. And that can be really... Yeah, can be really satisfying.
But that's exactly the thing.
It doesn't have anything to do with development.
It's a totally different thing. Yeah. It's a totally different thing. But knowing when to stop, knowing in which direction to take it, that is the art. Like, that is still the thing that you are bringing in as a human, right? Like that is the crafting of the taste, like the knowing what is, like, something is wrong or something is right. And
the taste part is so great, because I still listen to the San Francisco AI people sometimes and so on, and like every single conversation brings up research taste like 50 times. You know, it's like okay, well, yeah, okay. Do LLMs have research taste? I'm not so sure, you know. Like, now it's just about which research team has the best research taste. You know? It's really fun. All right, let's try our luck. Let's bring it to a close here.
All right.
And we'll see. We'll see what happens.
If it actually recorded, you mean?
Yeah, that too. Oh man. But that was a solid 45 minutes, and I'll pick your brain some more later today.